Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Chof Ches. We will begin on Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, the last narrow line. We learned in the Mishnah that V'cham Oimrim Maichron Yisrael Memkar Oilem. We're allowed to sell a shul permanently. Amar Yehuda Meshmul, Mota La'odim L'hash Tamayim B'toich Al Dala Amish Tefillah. A person could urinate within four amis of where he davened. Amar Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asks on this statement, my kamashmon, there's nothing specifically new in this statement. Tanina, because we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Maichem Oysay L'Shem Chatzar, we could sell a shul for as a piece of real estate, V'lekeich Ma'ashiyatz Yirtzayasa, and the buyer can do whatever he wants with that property. Tafil Rabbanon, and even the Rabban who said that a shul, a building that was once a shul, cannot be used as a urinal, like Hamri, they only were referring, Elabesa Knesses, the Kvi Kedushasei, regarding a shul that was a fully established shul, to take a place that was a shul and now use it as a urinal is unacceptable. Aval Dalet Amos. Here we're just referring to a place where somebody davened. And the likvi kedushasai to take such an area, loy, tani. We never learned that that is not permissible. So obviously, if you just stand in a place, you could urinate four amos away. Tana kamedra of Nachman. So the Gemara says we learned in a brisa. Hamspalo, if somebody davens, marchik dal amos umashtin. He has to walk away four amos from where he davened and urinate. If I'm mashtin, and if somebody urinated and he wants to daven, he has to be machik dal amos from the spalo. Walk four amos away from where he urinated and davened. So amalei, so to trying to understand this price. Bishlam I'm mashtin machik dal amos from spalo. Da locha that if somebody urinated and if he wants to daven, he has to walk four amos away. Tanino, it's a gemara masechta brachos. Because the Gemara Masechta Bracha says, "Kama yachid mehenim mitzoya." If somebody wants to daven and there's urine or waste, how much must he walk away? Dalet amos. So that's what the Gemara is teaching us. You have to walk dalet amos away if you want to daven. However, asked the Gemara, "Ela mispalo machik dalet amos umashtin." Now we're saying that if you want to daven in a spot, you have to walk away four amos from where you daven. If you need to urinate, Lomeli, if that's the case, and it's not talking about a shul, as we explained, as the Mefarshim explained, ostensibly, every street, every road in Nehardah, somebody might have davened on. If the halacha is that once someone davened on a specific spot, you're never allowed to urinate on that spot, and you have to always be careful to move four amis. So how could anyone ever use the bathroom anywhere on any street? Shouldn't we always be concerned, especially in a place which was heavily Jewish populated, that people daven on the street? Says the Gemara, you're right, that's not what it meant. Given that it's not a full-fledged shul, if someone is on the street, and obviously not taking tznius considerations into consideration here, he's allowed to urinate. What the Gemara here means is Yisha. The question here is, how much does he have to wait between urinating and davening? So now the Gemara, that's what this Braisa is referring to. So now the Gemara tries to reinterpret the Braisa. Bishlam amashtin Yisha, kidei dehilch dalamas. If someone urinates, he has to be careful to wait the amount of time it takes to walk four amas before he davens, mishum netzaitzus, to make sure that he has expelled everything he needs to. However, asked the Gemara, Mispalo, if someone is davening, now we're saying Yishikadei Tehilach Dal Amos, he has to wait the amount of time it takes to walk four Amos before he goes to the bathroom, asked the Bar Lomeli, he should be allowed to go to the bathroom right away. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Ashi, Shekol Dal Amos, Tfilosei Sedur B'fif, since I was just davening, and while my lips are moving with the tefillah, rechushi merachshin sfasei, so there has to be some sort of a pause between my tefillah and my going to the bathroom. how much of a pause must there be, the amount of time it takes to walk 4 amos. And the Svar, myself, and the Rebbe Rabbona, myself, and the Rishoner, this is why the Chodesh, the month, the Jewish month of Mar Cheshvan, is called Mar Cheshvan. Because we have the entire month of Tishrei that we spend at Tefillah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sar Shimei Tshuva, Sukkot. So we're so accustomed to Tefillah that our lips are still moving. Mar Cheshvan is Merachshin. Our lips are still moving from the Tefillahs of Tishrei. Zalfan Simen. Says the Gemara, Shaul Talmidim is Reb Zakkai. Reb Zakkai's Talmidim asked him, "B'ma harach to yomim? How are you zoicha tarichas yomim to living a long life?" So as we're going to learn the next Amud of Gemara, Be'ezra Hashem, we're going to be discussing different conversations with Tanom, how they were zoicha tarichas yomim. The Sefer Chassidim explains, a person being Mekayim, fulfilling the Taryag Mitzvahs, that's not necessarily a reason why you should have a Arichas Yomim. Everybody's supposed to fulfill the Taryag Mitzvahs. What's under consideration here is what did these people must have done something extra that they should have the S'chus for Arichas Yomim. That's how the Sefer Chassidim explains the Gemara. Rav Cheska Levenstein explains the Gemara. He says, if someone wants to be Zoichet Arichas Yomim, he has to do something right, something good, and he has to do it on a consistent basis. So the Talmidim were asking their Rebbeim, what good thing did you do on a consistent basis? Amalahem. So Rav Zakkai, Ben Zakkai answered, and that's how it gets into our Gemara. Meyomai lo yishtanti mayim b'toch tal am shel tefila. Even though the halacha is, as we learned in the previous Gemara, that halachically, if someone davens, he could urinate, if it's not in a shul, obviously, right on that spot. He was machmer that he walked away for amis. And v'loy kenisi shem l'chaveri. So as Rashi and the Rishonim explain that even that the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Metzia that if someone has a nickname which is not nice, you're certainly not allowed to call him with that nickname. What he did was that even if it wasn't an embarrassing nickname, he never used that nickname. Or another pshat is, even if it was an embarrassing nickname, but everybody's already accustomed to calling that person by that nickname, so then it's not an embarrassment. That's what everybody calls him. He still was careful never to call him with that name. V'lebitalti kiddush hayoyim. I never ignored making kiddush by day. So Mefarshim asked, what's the great thing about not ignoring making kiddush? The halach is you have to make kiddush. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that even if he didn't have enough wine, he could have perhaps made kiddush on bread. He was makbid to make kiddush on wine. Another teretz that I saw is that even if he went somewhere and he heard someone else make kiddush, so you can make yoytzer with hearing someone else, he went out of the way to make kiddush himself. And another pshat that I saw is that the discussion by Hilchos Pesach that if someone can't afford, we have to supply him with wine for the dalek kaisis. There is no such halacha for kiddush. He still went out of his way, even when he couldn't afford it, to spend money to get money to buy wine because it was so important to him. And he says, "Even as a kind of hoisily, I had an elderly mother. Pamachas makra kippish of Russia. She sold her hat, the veili kiddush ayoyim, to bring me kiddush. Tana kishemesa. When she passed away, henichal gibel meis garbiyayim. She left him over 300 barrels of wine. Kishemes who?" Because he was so careful about kiddush, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him a bracha. He niach lebanu shloishes alofim garbayayin, 3,000 barrels of wine. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna have a osarisa. Rav Huna was wearing a belt made out of grass. V'koy kamei the Rav, standing like that in front of Rav. Amalei mayhai, where's your regular belt that you're wearing? A belt made out of grass. Amalei loy haveli lekiddush. I didn't have wine for kiddush. So I put up my belt as collateral to get wine for Kiddush. Kiddush, and I bought wine for Kiddush. Amalei, so he gave him a bracha. Yehi Rav, it should be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tatum b'shirayi, that you should be covered in silk. Ki ichla, Rabbi Rei Rav Huna, when Rabbi Rav Huna got married, inish gutza hava. Rav Huna was a short person, gona paraya. You know, when you make a wedding, you're tired. So he took a rest. He laid down on the couch. And he fell asleep. As Yibanse v'kalse, his daughters and daughter-in-laws, Shalchan, they took off their silk scarves, the Shagri Minayu Adlayu, and they threw it on top of him to cover him, Ad Itam Mishroyim, until he was covered with silk garments. Rav's bracha was fulfilled. Shamar Rav Ikbind. When Rav heard this, he was upset. Amar, my Tama, Loi Amritli Kibirachtich. Why, when I gave you a bracha, did you not say V'chei Lamar? You should have a bracha back. Because you see how powerful my bracha was. If you would have said V'chei Lamar, as the Chazon Ish explains, it was obviously an Eis Ratzon. It was obviously a time where brachas were being heard. And therefore, if you would have said to me, V'chei Lamar, I also would have been blessed. I lost out that opportunity. And as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains the Gemara, that there are times where people are given the opportunity to give a bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them that ability, makes no difference who they are, and their bracha is fulfilled. I saw from Rav Moshe Netshuva. Rav Moshe writes that people used to call him and write him and approach him for brachas. Rav Moshe wasn't the Rebbe. He used to say, I give them the bracha that they ask for. He says, not because I really believe that I have this ability to always give a bracha, and that my bracha should be mekoyim. But from our Gemara, we see that there are times that everybody has the ability to give a bracha. So if these people come over to me, and they have needs, and I'm spowl for them, maybe my bracha will be mekoyim, and therefore I have the obligation to give them the bracha. Shaul Tamidim is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's Talmidim asked him, "B'marach the yamim, how did you have a long life?" Amalei, "Miyamai lo sisi kalfandri lebeis knesses. I never used the shul as a shortcut." So, Mefarshim asked, "We're going to learn in the next year that you're not allowed to use the shul as a shortcut. What makes this special?" So, some say that the halach is that, as we'll learn, that if a shul was built where there used to be a path that I always took, then I'm allowed to use the shul as a shortcut. Or the halach is that if I go into the shul and I daven there, I am allowed to use it as a shortcut. He still didn't use it as a shortcut. V'loi pasati al rosh yam kodesh. It used to be that people sat on the floor. So if somebody walked in and he walked past all these people, it looked like he was standing on their heads. He didn't do that. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though no one's really supposed to act that way, what he meant to say is that even in circumstances that he was allowed to do it, he was careful not to do it. V'loi nesati kafi b'loi bracha. He was a kohen, and he never duchened without making a bracha first. So Farshim asked, what makes that special? Whenever a kohen duchens, he's supposed to say a bracha. So the Meiri says that the kahanim, besides saying a bracha, also say a yirotzen and a ribbono shel olam before and after nesias kapayim. He was always careful to do that. Another pshat is that the Gemara discusses, we spoke about this already also, that if the Baal Tefillah is a kohen, there's always a concern about him duchening and then going back to the tefillah. He says, even when I was a Baal Tefillah, I was careful to do it right. Another pshat that I saw, v'lenesati kapi b'loi bracha, very relevant shaila, is that the post can discuss, let's say a kohen duchened already today, and he walks by a shul that doesn't have a kohen, so they want to schlep him in to duchen. The question is, does he make a bracha when he duchens the second time? Similar shaila, let's say we have Jews from Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael, and it's the last day of Pesach, which is Yontif for us, not for them, second day of Shavuos, etc. So we daven Musaf and we duchen by Musaf. They don't daven Musaf, they don't duchen. Could a kohen duchen? Could an Israeli kohen duchen for Americans on such a day? So what he meant to say was that whatever the halacha is, that if I wasn't allowed to duchen, since there was a shaila, I didn't duchen because I didn't want to get involved in a shaila, so I avoided ever coming into those circumstances. Or others say, and that's the halacha lemaisa, that a kohen does duchen again, and that's what he was saying, that I was always careful to make myself available for people who needed a kohen to duchen and make a bracha for them. Shaul Talmid of his Rapreda, b'marach d'yom. How did you have a long life? Amalei miyomai lekadmani odom lebeis hamedrash. No one got to shul before me. So Tosfos points out the Gemara, Masechta Erevin, that says the Rapreda had a long life because he was a fantastic Rebbe, and he sat with a Talmud and explained to him the same piece of Gemara 400 times. And that's how he had a long life. So what's our Gemara saying? Because he came to shul first. So I saw a beautiful pshat. If someone spends time with a Talmud, teaching him a Gemara 400 times, so it's a very special thing. But maybe this person is not really a person that's so careful about his time. Says the Gemara, Reb Prater was a person that was, every moment was so important to him. What's the proof? He was the first person in shul in the morning. And even though every moment and every second was so important to him, when it came to teach a Talmud 400 times, he took his precious moments and learned with his Talmud. That's why he had Arichas Yamim. V'loi b'rachti l'fnei koyin, the Gemara will explain what this means. V'loi chalti mi'behem shloi horbe matanosa. I did not eat from an animal. The halacha is that from every animal, the zroi l'chayim v'keva, the arm, the cheekbone meat, and the intestines have to go to the koyin. He didn't eat from the animal until the koyin got his portion. Don Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, os lechem behem shloi horbe matanosa. He holds that no one is allowed to eat from the animal until the kohen gets his portion. Someone who does eat from such an animal, it's like he eats from produce from which truma is not removed. However, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that you are allowed to eat from an animal, even though the kohen did not get his portions. And the Rishonim give two reasons. One is, when we have a barrel of truma, so the truma and the rest of the produce is all mixed together. By the animal, each piece is separate. Furthermore, the halacha is of Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. If Yisrael eats truma, he's chayim misa b'day shemayim. But Yisrael is allowed to eat the portions of the animal that goes to the kohen, and therefore it's different, but still he was machmer that he did not eat from the animal until the kohen gets his portion. Furthermore, he said, "V'loy b'rachti l'fnei koyin." I never got an aliyah before koyin got an aliyah. Ask the Gemara, "The lememr de mal yusuhu." Is that something to be proud of? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan called Talmud Chacham Shemavaruch l'fanav. Afilu koyin gadol ha'maoritz. If a Talmud Chacham allows even the koyin gadol, but if the koyin gadol is on ha'maoritz, and he allows that koyin to get an aliyah before him. That Talmud Chacham is Chayim Misa. Shnem, as the Pasuk says, Kol Mesanei of Avu Mavis. Al Tekri Mesanei El Mesnei. He makes the Torah be hated. He shows that the Torah is not so special that the Amoritz comes before him. So Mepharshim asked, we know there's a concept of Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvoidoi Kvoidoi Machal. He is allowed to. So some explain, not when it's befaresia, not when it's in public. Here it's in shul, we're getting an aliyah. Letting this Amoritz get an aliyah before you is in public. Another pshat that I saw, very good pshat, is when am I allowed to be meichel my kavod? I don't need you to give me kavod. But here it's not just that I gave up my kavod. My kavod is being given to an Amoritz. That's a lot worse than just walking away from kavod. So what's Reb Prater doing? Answers the Gemara, ki kama iu b'shavin. So as Tosfos explains, it's not that the kohen was equal stature to Reb Prater. If he's equal stature, so certainly the kohen goes first. The kohen was a Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't equal stature to Reb Prater. So really, Reb Prater, if he wanted, could have gotten the aliyah first. He still allowed the kohen to get the aliyah first. Tosfos says another pshat, there's a difference between Shabbos and Monday and Thursday. On Shabbos, we have to be careful that a kohen should get an aliyah first. Monday and Thursday, there isn't such a big crowded shul. You don't have to be careful. He was still careful. Another pshat Tosfos says, we have to specifically treat a kohen better by Kriyas HaTorah, not by Birchas HaMazon. Reb Prater was even careful by Birchas HaMazon to make sure that the kohen always got the zima. Shaul Talmidav as Rabbi Nechunya Bekana, v'ma'a rechta yomim. How did you get a long life? I never was made myself great with somebody else's problems. And I never went to sleep with my friend being angry at me. And I wasn't cheap. I was nice. I was giving with my money. The Gemara explains each one. Rav Huna was once carrying a package on his shoulders. Rav Chanan came and wanted to help him schlep it. So he told him, if you're accustomed that you schlep packages, Dori, so I'll allow you to help me. However, if you don't normally do this, that I should be honored, and you at the expense of your embarrassment, I'm not satisfied with this. The next thing he said was, I never went to sleep with my friend being angry at me. Every night before he went to sleep, I'm Michael, whoever made me problem. So Farshim explained, if he was so nice that he was Michael, anyone that started up with him, why do you wait till the night? So Farshim explained, he wanted to give the person who did something wrong to him the opportunity to ask for mechila. So if the person was smart and took the option, gvaldik. If he didn't, he was careful not to go to sleep with that person being angry at him or still being in a fight with him, because the Gemara says that kol mi shenana shel yada, if I call that my friend should have a punishment, even I'm not put into the mechitzah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I go to sleep at night, he was careful that before he went to sleep and he was going to Shemayim, there should be no one that would be harmed because of him. I was generous. He was a generous person. So most of the first explained that if he went to the store to buy something and the change was less than a pruta, he let the storekeeper keep it. Another pshat that Rashi says is that let's say they hired a worker, if you could get a worker at this price, and the worker wanted a half a pruta for his job, so he said to the worker, keep the pruta and the change, buy something in the store and we'll eat it together. Shar Akiva from the Chunyam HaGadol. So Rav Akiva asked Rav Chanina Gadol, how did you have a long life? Also gavzi the kamachle. So his talmidim came and wanted to hit him. So Mefarshim asked an obvious question. Till now we're learning Gemaras, where the talmidim asking the Rebbe, how did you have a long life? And the Rebbe responds. Now when Rav Akiva is asking question, the talmidim get all upset. What happened? So I saw a beautiful pshat. In all the previous Gemaras, it was Shalu Talmidov. Someone's Talmud asked him, how did you have a long life? A Talmud is supposed to learn from his Rebbe everything. And part of what his Rebbe is supposed to teach him is how did you have a long life? Rebbe Kiva, however, was not a Tanya Talmud of Rebbe Chanunya. So if I just go over to a person in the street and I ask him, how did you have a long life? That's a terrible, embarrassing question. That's why Rebbe Kiva, they were upset at him for asking the question. And as we'll see, they did not know who Rabbi Kiva really was. Saul of Yosef Gereshit the Dikla. So he went and he climbed up a date tree. Mefarshim say a date tree is a hard tree for them to climb up after him. And that's where he hid from them. Amalei. So he wanted to prove that he was a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Kiva wanted to prove that he's a Talmud Chacham. And he had no bad intentions with asking this question. So he said, the Pasuk says in Parashas Pinchas, regarding the animal that's brought every day for the Karban HaTamid, in the morning, Im nema keves lama nema echad. What did the Torah say, keves echad? It should say keves. Amalei, tzuvim rabbanu. So now Rabbi Nachumya sees that Rabbi Kiva is a Talmud Chacham. He's asking good questions. Shafku, leave him. So he says, so what is the answer? Amalei miyuchad sheba edroi. The best animal. So first, let me explain this Gemara homiletically. What Rabbi Kiva was asking is, how did you have a long life? Isn't it usually that the Talmud Chacham, the Tzadik Hador, is taken sometimes earlier to be mechaper on the Averis of the Dor, and you're the Meyuchud, you're the Echod, you're the best. So answers of Nechanya, you're right. But I did things to give me long life. What were they? Miyamai lo kibalti matonis. I never accepted gifts. V'lo manati al midoisai. And I wasn't upset. I was quick to be Meichel. V'at remember how you see this, we'll explain. Lo kibalti matonis. Kadar b'lezer. If the Nasi sent him a gift, he refused to accept it. If he was invited to eat a meal at their home, he refused to go. Don't you want to see me live? The ksiv, someone who accepts gifts will live long. Who hates gifts will live long. Reb Zera. If they sent him from the Nasi a gift, he refused to take it. But if he was invited, Ozel. Then he went. It's their honor that I should honor them with my presence at the meal. So Mepharshim explained. Here we see, it's not good to take gifts. So there's a long discussion. Actually, Ramosh has a very interesting tshuva about this. There's a Rambam, and the Ramah discuss about Talmid HaChachamim refusing to accept support from the community. So Ramosh says that should not be followed. Only in a situation where the Talmud Chacham can actually support himself and survive without communal support. But if a person has a choice that he should learn or work for the Tzibur and Divrei Torah and take support, or say, no, I don't want support and I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to be involved with the Tzibur, it's better, that's improper, Ramosha says. And I saw, perhaps this is a nice way of understanding Ramosha's psak. The Chassam Sofer says, Soinim Matanas Yichya, this is a very beautiful pshat. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to accept gifts. You're not allowed to want gifts. You're not allowed to spend your day expecting, when am I going to get a gift from this person? When is this person going to send me some money? But to take is not necessarily also. From here we see, the Mepharshim explain, that when a poor person takes tzedakah from a wealthier person, the wealthy person is, the poor person is doing a big taiva with the wealthy person. Because the poor person should perhaps not take gifts, and then the wealthy person will not have the opportunity to do tzedakah. He still takes the gift. He gives the person the opportunity to do the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. It should be appreciated. Tiskul mitzvahs. Lemati al midoisai, I wasn't tough. I was willing to be Michael. Dama Rava, kala mava midoisav, whoever doesn't stand on ceremony, mevira meno klapshav, the Michael is averus. Shnema noise oven for oiva al pesha. Lemi noise oven, who does a Kodesh Baruch Hu forgive? Lemisha oiva al pesha. Somebody who he himself is forgiving. Sholos b'shuben karcha, b'ma harach the yomim. Again, they asked him, how did you have a long life? Amalei katzta b'chayai, you can't stand that I'm living so long, that you're asking me? Amalei Rebbe Torah hivalimanet nitzarech. Chas v'shalom. But everything is Torah. We want to learn from you. Amalei lo nismiyomai lo nistakalti b'demus odem rosha. I never looked at a rosha. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, osu l'odem l'stakal b'tselem demus odem rosha. Now I'll look at a Rosha. So the Turi Eben explains, if it's Osir, so why it's so special? He says it may be Osir, but it's very hard to accomplish. He was careful. Another pshat that I saw, L'estakel doesn't mean to look. You can't live a life, you don't know who you're looking at. You sit on the train, you don't know who's the person next to you. L'estakel means to study them. And then I saw, the first thing say, why did the Gemara say, B'tselem D'mus Adam Rosha? Just say, L'estakel, but D'mus Adam Rosha. Now I'll look at him. Tselem is not only not allowed to look at him, you're not even looking at Tselem, you're not even looking at a picture of him. Shinema, the Pasuk says that Yehoshaphat, who was Melech Yehuda, had teamed up with Yehoram ben Achav, who was Melech Yisrael in Russia, to go to war. And they went to Elisha to ask him what will happen. And Elisha tells Yehoram, Lulei Pnei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, if not that you came along with Yehoshaphat, I would never look at you because you're a Rasha. Rebbe Elazar Omer, ain't of chaos. Someone who looks at a person who's a Rasha, his eyes get weak. He couldn't see. Like the Mashal says, why does the Pasuk say Merois? She said, Tekena Einof. It must be Merois because he looked at whom he wasn't supposed to look. Who was that? Because he looked at Esav, who was a Rasha. Like the Torah haven't said, because Yitzchak did not realize, as we know, that Esav was really a Rasha. Asked the Gemara, for Hogar Malay, is this what caused Yitzchak's eyes to become weak? Even when somebody not significant gives a curse, it should not be taken lightly. Avimelech cursed Sarah. from the sky in Bazar, and it came back in her children. Shinema, Avimelech said, Hine chulchak susenayim. This is when Avimelech discovered that Sarah was Avram's wife. So Pashup Shad is that he gave her clothing for compensation. But the Gemara says, Al tikri ksus el ksus enayim. That I'm giving you, that you should be blinded for cursed, for fooling me. Says the Gemara, Hava ha garmalei. Between Yitzchak's looking at Esav and the curse of Avimelech, together it happened. So as Mepharshim say, how do we know it was a combination? Maybe it was each one itself. So Mepharshim say, if it was just because of what Sarah did to Avimelech, so why is her son Yitzchak going to get this klala? Her husband, Avram, should have gotten the klala. He was accomplice to this. On the other hand, if it was just Esav, like we explained a moment ago, Esav was a mistake. Yitzchak didn't realize that Esav was a Rasha. It must be, it's a combination of these two factors that caused him to go blind. Rav Amar Mehacha, this is the source that looking at a Rasha makes someone blind. Eis pnei Rasha, looking at a blind person, loy toif, is not good. Amar B'shaspati Rasha, as he was dying, as Rabbi Shimon Karka was dying, Amar Lei Bercheni, so they told him, bench us. You should live half the amount of years I live. Ask the Gemara, why can't you give me a bracha that I should have a long life like you? He was the Nasi. And he was saying to them, your children are going to be your successors. But if you live a long life, they'll never get a chance. Says the Gemara, Avur ba'imi u'minyam ba'imi. I never looked at a kuti. I never became a partner with a kuti. So first of all, the Mepharshim say, beautiful pshat from the Mashal. Tastely, they asked for schar. Don't we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Al tiyu kavodim, hamashan from Sarabah manas l'kal pras. You're not supposed to do mitzvahs for the purpose of getting reward. So Mashal says, tastely doesn't mean that he asked for reward. Tastely, he asked for siyat d'shmaya. Tastely, I want to do the right thing, but I need siyat d'shmaya. Give it to me. One, because he didn't look at a guy, like we learned in the previous Gemara, and the other is because he didn't become a shutter for the guy. So Tastely asks, we're going to learn a mitzvah shem. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says that it's also to be a shutter for the guy. Why? Because the guy, if there'll be a dispute, will go swear in the name of his Avodah Zarah. So this is not something special. It's what the halacha requires. So Taisus answers that we're referring to a situation where they made an agreement between themselves that if they'll ever have a dispute, the guy will not have to swear. So there, halachically, you are allowed to be a shutuf with the guy. Still, they went out of the way to avoid any kind of such relationship. Shal Talmidav Zerav Zeyra, Ma'a Rakhta Yaman. How did you have a long life? Amam Yomai Loik Badati B'toich Beisi. I never got angry in my house. So Be'er Ma'im Chaim says, pshat like this. Sometimes the father has to get angry. He has to be the authority in the house. But it was never b'toich beisi. Even if I got angry, it was never inside. Outside, sometimes I have to take a forceful stand. But kass, inside, never. If I walk together with somebody who is greater than me, I was always careful not to walk ahead of him. I never thought in learning in a place where it wasn't clean. Like the Mashal says, these things go together. Even though he never stopped learning, so it's very hard to live thinking and learning all the time, wearing tefillin all the time, and still not end up with a hefsik, because you're in a place that's not clean. He was careful. I never went to sleep in shul. I wasn't happy to see my friend have a failure. So Farshim say, that's special. We learned the Gemara more than once. So I saw three pshat. One pshat is, sometimes you're not supposed to be happy when your enemy falls, because that comes out of sinner. But if you and I are competing, and I win, so I'm not happy because you fell. I'm happy because I won. Still, v'loy sasti. Another pshat is when Talmid Chacham learn, so we debate. We both have the same intention that we should get the right pshat in the Gemara. So even if he was the one that, so to speak, got the right shot, he wasn't happy that he had the right shot and his friend had the wrong shot. But then I saw a powerful pshat from the Worker Rebbe. V'loy sasti. I can never be happy with the kalos chaveri. If I saw that my friend was having a tough day, was having a hard time, v'loy sasti, then I can't be happy. How can I be happy when I have a friend who's having tzaras? V'loy karasi l'chaveri b'chanisoy, v'loy amin b'chachanosoy. So there's another pshatim here. One pshat is I never called him with a nickname, similar to what we learned at the beginning of the Gemara. Even if it was a nickname that was accepted, the Ben Yoyada says pshat in the Gemara, that I never called my friend by his family name. I always called my friend by his given name, by his first name. He says that that's the name that represents who the person really is. And people who are real friends call each other by their first names, not by their second names. Continues the Mishnah. V'adam Rabbi Yehuda, Beis HaKnesset Shecharev. Rabbi Yehuda, who taught us in the previous Mishnah, this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda taught us in the previous Mishnah that when we sell a shul, we can only sell it that the customer will use it as a chatzar. Tells us Rabbi Yehuda, Beis HaKnesset Shecharev, if a shul is demolished, Amos Pidi Metaychai, we still can't use it to say a spadim. We're not allowed to roll up rope there. We're not allowed to roll out nets there. And as the Mefarshim explained, usually a big empty shul is a wonderful place. It has a lot of empty space. I'm still not allowed to use it for these purposes. Not allowed to put out fruit on the roof to dry. Again, the Mefarshim explained, even though the roof doesn't have kedusha, still it's inappropriate to use it for this. When I say kafandria, you're not allowed to use it as a shortcut. Shenema vashimaisem es migdashechem. Kedusha sen afkin shen shamim. They're holy even when they're desolate. All about sovim, if grass grows in it, la yitsh litlish, don't cut the grass, neagmas nefesh, because that will get the people aroused. Nebuch, look at the shul, look how it looks. Tana bottom. One is not allowed to act frivolously in a shul. And you're not allowed to eat there. You're not allowed to drink there. You're not allowed to get yourself dressed up there. You're not allowed to take a walk. A person needs exercise, so decide they'll walk up and down the shul. You're not allowed to walk in there in the heat. It's hot outside to go in there to protect yourself from the heat. In the rain, because it's raining. A private hesped is prohibited. We'll talk about that more in the next year. We're allowed to learn there. And the Mefarshim explained, even though we learned yesterday, they had a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. The Beis HaKnesses is where they daven. The Beis HaMedrash is where they learn. Doesn't mean you know how to learn in the Beis HaKnesses. Avakar behen, v'shar behen. Ah, Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when was this spoken about? Be Yeshuvin, when they're in use. Abba v'chubonon, where they're desolate. Menichon ha'son, v'oil ben ha'sovim, we leave them to have grass. V'loyit b'shvot ne'agmas nefesh, and don't cut the grass. Ask the Gemara, ha'sovim man d'chashmayu, who spoke about grass? Say the Gemara, ch'surim ech'svachetani. We keep the shul completely clean. Why? Grass shouldn't grow. We want the shul to look beautiful. And that says Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, when do we keep the shul in such shape? Be yeshuvan, when the shul is in use. Av b'chabonon, if the shul is desolate, then menichin oisai lalos. We let the grass grow, and all of them, if the grass grows, lo yitlosh, don't cut it, from the agus nefesh, that should get the people to see, look what happened to the shul. Amar Rabasi, b'at the k'nisiyish b'bavel, the shuls in Bavel, al t'nai hein esuyin. They're made with a condition, that if they're going to be in this use, if they're not used, still they should be allowed to be used for other purposes. However, says the Gemara, v'afki kein, even though the Tanai was made, and even though there are shuls in Chutz Laretz, ain't no Hagenbon Kalos Roish. We still have to be careful that afterwards, what we do in it. We're not allowed to act frivolously there. Or my new, what is example Kalos Roish? Cheshbonus. To use the shul to make calculations, to do all sorts of tax or calculations is inappropriate. The Mershonim all say, when we say cheshbonos, we mean cheshbonos that are not cheshbonos l'mitzvah. If we use it to make a fund for tzedakah, that's permissible. Rav Asi, Beis HaKnesses shemechashbin by a cheshbonos, a shul that's used that way, melina b'as hameis. Says the Gemara, melina in salka daitach, loisagi de loisachachi, there's nothing worse. If we don't treat the shul properly, what's going to end up being is that the shul will end up being a morgue for people who have nobody when they die to attend them. So there's a number of machlokes rishonim how to understand this gemara. Firstly, Tosfos clearly says that this gemara that says that the shuls in Bavel are made on Tanai is only shuls in Bavel. Because since ultimately we're not going to be in Chutz Laretz, so therefore, the shuls are made al Tanai. A shul in Eretz Yisrael cannot be made with a Tanai. Then there's another shaila. When the Gemara here says that the shul is made on a Tanai, and therefore it doesn't have that same high level of Kedusha, what is the Gemara referring to? Is the Gemara referring to after the shul is desolate? So since it was made with a Tanai, and now it's desolate, so therefore we don't have to be so careful? Or is it even when the shul is standing? Tosfos says that it's only when the shul is desolate. While the shul is standing, you have to treat it with the greatest respect. There's no Tanai that could overtake that. It's only after it's desolate and there's a Tanai, we could be a little more makel. The other Rishonim that say that the shul is, that the Gemara is even referring to when the shul is standing, since it's a shul in Bavel, Chutz Laretz, and it was made with Tanai, we could be a little more lenient. So obviously, when we learn this Gemara, there's a very fundamental question. We know that in many shuls, we learned the Gemara, how careful we have to be in a shul. We're going to learn more Gemaras, Be'ezer Hashem. And we know that most people aren't so careful about things in a shul. It's an open Gemara. Shulchan Aruch Paskens this way. So the Pais can discuss it. There's a very famous tshuva from the Divrei Chaim discussing this question. He says the shuls that are built nowadays are not built as a shul. They're built as a beis vad. The definition of a beis vad is a gathering place. It's a place that people gather. They gather for many purposes. One of the purposes is to daven. Another purpose is to learn. Another purpose is to eat. Another purpose is for other purposes. Since when the shul is established not as a base of Knesses or a base of Medrash, it's established as a base Vad, to use the vernacular, it's established as a shtibel. That's why it doesn't have this level of Kedusha, and all the halachas that we're learning don't apply to it. Continues the Gemara. Ve'nechnos mehem b'chama b'nei, ve'nu'us mehem, amar Rava, Amar Rava, Chachom v'Talmideim, Chachom and the Talmidim v'Torim are allowed to do more of private needs in a shul. Dar Rav Shubha Levi, my Bei Rabbanon, what is the shul called? It's called the Bei Rabbanon, because it's based on Rabbanon, it's our home. So just like in our home, we do things that we need to do, the shul is the home of Talmidei Chachomim. V'yinechnos mehem b'chama b'nei chama, v'ksham b'nei gisham. You're not allowed to go there when it's hot or cold because of the weather. They were standing outside, talking and learning, asking Rava a shayla. Also zilsa de mitra. It started to rain. Ayla lebei knishta, so they walked into the shul. Amri haide elina lebei knishta, this day we went into the shul, lav mishum mitra, not because it's raining, ela mishum de shmatza boi tzlusa, in order to be able to effectively learn, we have to have a clear head, kiyoy medistana, like a day where the north wind blows, that's the clearest, best time. It was standing outside in the rain, we obviously can't think and concentrate properly, so that's why we're allowed to go into the shul. Amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rava l'Rav Ashi, yitzruch lei le'inish, Lemikri Gavra. If a person needs very important halacha, let's say there's someone in shul that I have to call, and you have to have the cell phone shut in shul. So what do I do? Says the Gemara, if tzrich leila inish lemikri gavra b'mei knishna, if I have to call somebody out of shul, my, what should I do? Omle eat sivra b'mebonanu, if I'm a tamad chacham, leima hilchasa. I should go into the shul and say it, the halacha before I approach my friend. Vitanahu, my masnisen. If I know how to learn a Mishnah, I should say a Mishnah. Vikaruhu, if I can't even do that, lema psuk, I should say a pasuk. Viloi, lema liyanuka, I should tell, I should ask a child in the shul, emeli psukecha, tell me what you learned today. Inami, nishi purta v'nekam. Don't just walk into the shul and call out the person. Sit down and look like you're sitting in the shul, and only afterwards get up and call the person. What pshat nishi purta v'nekam? You shouldn't call the person and then sit down. This is the halacha. First nishi purta, first sit down, and then call the person. So there's a very interesting machloikis between the Mishnah Berura and the Aruch HaShulchan here. The Gemara says here clearly that if you have to call somebody out from the shul, you could go and ask and go in and learn or daven and then call them out. What's going to be an halacha if I'm outside and it's raining? It starts to rain. Am I allowed to go into the shul and learn or say a pasuk to avoid standing in the rain? Mishnah Berurah says no. Mishnah Berurah says because the Gemara only gives that advice to someone who's outside talking and learning. But if you're not outside talking and learning, you're outside, just outside, and it starts to rain, you're not allowed to go into the shul to avoid the rain under any circumstances. And his proof is, because the Gemara only said it for those people who were learning. The Gemara didn't give that advice to anyone else. Darach HaShulchan disagrees. Darach HaShulchan says that even if you're standing outside and it starts to rain, you're allowed to go in, and as long as you learn or daven, even though your real purpose is to avoid the rain, it's acceptable. And the Eimek Bracha explains the Aruch HaShulchan's approach. He says, there, they were already talking and learning. And then it started to rain. So everybody that saw them walking in, it was obvious that they only walked in because of the rain. Because they didn't have a problem talking and learning outside till now. But if I'm just walking outside, and it starts to rain, and I walk into the shul, and I sit down and daven and learn, it's not obvious that I walked in because of the rain. Maybe I was taka going to shul. And therefore, Aruch HaShulchan says that if you walk into shul, if you weren't doing anything different, and it started to rain, and you walk into the shul, even though your real intent is really to avoid the rain, but you're going to daven and learn, it's acceptable.